This is Jay Sekulow. An ACLJ lawsuit uncovers a deep state plot.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Your American Center for Law and Justice filed a lawsuit against some of the intelligence agencies, particularly the United States National Security Agency. In fact, I'm holding a copy of the lawsuit in my hand right now. This was a lawsuit that we filed 2 years ago involving a request under the Freedom of Information Act for information regarding an executive order. The particular executive order was 12333. It was one that was put in place to increase the raw intelligence sharing, as it was called. In other words, who had access to intelligence information. Initially, it was three departments, and it went from three to 17. And this all happened in the last, literally, in the last 3 weeks of the Obama administration. So for 8 years, they operated with just this handful of agency heads having access to what they call raw signal intelligence. And then all of a sudden they change it to 17 different departments getting access to it, literally in the waning days. But what is most significant about all of this is the emails that we uncovered and the documents we uncovered in the course of our litigation, which shows that the urgency of this was to complete this prior to the president, President Trump, being sworn in. And we have the actual documents on that. But before we get into that, let's talk about what raw signal intelligence is. Colonel Smith.
Yeah. Raw signals intelligence is some of the most closely held secrets collected by the NSA. The NSA is a military organization. It's always headed by either an admiral or a general. And raw intelligence is just strictly intercepts and things they have collected through signals, which is, you know, the internet and electronic, any kind of electronic signaling. And they are never really dispersed around the intel community until the analysts have had a chance to go through and to sift it out, to figure out what's important, what's not, what's extraneous, and what needs to be shared and what needs to be held very, very closely by the NSA. Because, again, some of the most closely held national security secrets are collected by this organization. I mean, these are the top level of things that the only people that know about these are people with high-level security clearances and who also have a need to know. This act, especially as an administration is leaving, is very, very, very unusual.
So this is taking place literally in there's weeks left, days left in this administration.
Yeah, and intel information is just not generally put out to the rest of the IC, the intel community, until it's been analyzed and processed.
So, Andy, obviously we've caught them, but what do you think was going on here?
Well, I mean,
I call it a soft coup.
It was obvious that they were seeking to expand the access to classified information and to give it to people who were unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. The Obama administration was trying to bolster up a shadow government so that what? That information not only endangers our national security, but and the critical national security apparatus, but is an attempt to undermine the incoming Trump administration by creating an atmosphere where leaks occur.
So let me ask you this, Stan, talking about an atmosphere that's going on right now. We're going to get the FISA information. That's all coming to light. You've got the special U.S. attorney from Connecticut doing this deep dive investigation on how this counterintelligence matter started. What is your sense? What's the sense in Washington on this? I think that's why the Democrats are reacting the way they are, in fact.
I think the top's about ready to blow off all of this, Jay. I really do. And look, Wes said that this information is usually held close. Jay, it's held close unless the goal is to get as many eyeballs as possible on the incoming administration and the new president. I think all of that's about ready to come out. Jay, the only other explanation would have involved talking to the new administration. They did not do that. I think there's more to come.
All right, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We come back, I'm going to go through these emails that we have. We know what they were saying. We know the dates they were looking at. January 20th. Everything had to be in place prior to the 45th president of the United States being sworn in. We'll take your calls. 800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right. If you're a member of the American Center for Law and Justice, you get these reports. I'm holding in my hand. These are our Government Accountability Project. This is the first report of our Freedom of Information Act reports on a whole host of issues. This was from April of June of 2018. We then have one from the winter quarter of 2018-2019, third quarter of 2018. So we're working on a fourth one right now. If you're a member of the ACLJ, you get these. You should be getting these. You need to know what's going on. Now, we have put together a report for today because I broke this last night on Fox News. We're going to have a follow-up, I think, on Wednesday's broadcast. Here's what we have. We've obtained a series of documents. So understand first what we got. We went to federal court, got a court order, which allowed us to get documents. Once we get the documents, which we now have, we find a couple of things. There was as Wes just did a very good job of describing what this raw signal intelligence is, the most classified intelligence we get. It's supposed to be analyzed first before distribution. They reverse that. We're going to let Professor Hutchinson talk about that in a moment. But let's talk about what they actually got, what we got. We first got a document that shows that the Office of Director of National Intelligence, was under James Clapper, was eager in pushing to get the new procedures. This was to disseminate not just to 3 agencies, but to 17. So it would vastly increase who gets the intelligence information. And they wanted these procedures signed by the Attorney General before the conclusion of this administration. Now, we're talking about in December and January, December 2016, January 2017, literally days before the Trump administration was put into office. That's the first document. Then we have a document from the Director of National Intelligence General Counsel, Robert Litt. He's the General Counsel. He says that he really wants to get this done, and so does the boss. Now, the boss is either... It's got to either be James Clapper or Andy.
Obama.
Yeah, it's one of the two. It would only make sense. That's their bosses. And they want this done, really want to get this done, so does the boss. And the third document we have is the NSA. This is an NSA document itself that says we could have a signature from the Attorney General as early as this week, certainly prior to January 20th. So, Professor Hutchinson, what was going on here?
Well, essentially, rather than follow established procedures for purposes of analyzing the data first and then disseminating the information through correct and proper channels, the Obama administration engaged in a rushed process to advance the possibility of both leaks and unmasking. This scheme involved James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, Attorney General Lynch, and the ODNI's General counsel Robert Litt. And it's clear beyond question that unmasking and leaking did occur, and it continued to occur after President Trump took office. So in essence, you can argue that this is part and parcel of a scheme designed to undermine the election of a duly elected president, and it simply operated as an operation led by the deep state.
Okay, so I'm going to play for you. This is a very important flashback. I'm glad our team found this. This is James Clapper on CNN in July of 2018. Now, why this is important is I think that the entire unmasking, the intel sharing, and Crossfire Hurricane are all related and ultimately results in the Mueller appointment, right? They knew that exactly and admitted it. Take a listen to this.
One point I'd like to make, and I don't think has come up very much before, and I'm alluding now to the president's criticism of President Obama for all that he did or didn't do before he left office with respect to the Russian meddling. If it weren't for President Obama, we might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set off a whole sequence of events which are unfolding today, notably Special Counsel Mueller's investigation.
So there you have it. So now, folks, I'm putting all this all together because we've got the documents. We have the statement from James Clapper. We know about the dossier. We know about the FISA warrants. We now know about this intelligence sharing. We know about Crossfire Hurricane. This was a soft coup, Andy.
Yes, it was an attempt clearly to do what they achieved, and that is to get a special counsel appointed to harass and try to undermine the president.
There was no Russia coordination or collusion or
obstruction
conspiracy.
Of justice, right. Or any kind of conspiracy whatsoever. But they achieved what they wanted to. In other words, it was a calculated, thought-out plan, okay, to do something that was ultimately achieved, and that is to undermine, through the deep state, the administration of incoming President Donald Trump. And I want to point something out, Jay, that I just realized. We filed this FOIA suit, ACLJ versus U.S. National Security Agency, okay, in 2016.
Yep.
And it was assigned to Judge Rudolph Contreras in the district court. He's the same judge who signed the FISA warrant.
Yes, Judge Contreras was the one who signed the FISA warrant based on information provided to him, which now we know was unverified and salacious. Same judge.
So the same judge who is to whom they presented a FISA warrant based on false information.
This is big.
That they knew was false information is now handling the disclosure of information that we have requested with respect to this FISA, FOIA request that we are getting. That's an important thing because that judge, if I were that judge, I would be one angry, outraged federal district judge.
All right, so now this is also, this is important, folks, for you to understand. So the judge that authorized, we're not blaming the judge for authorizing that FISA warrant, by the way, he was giving bad information.
Yeah.
So, but that is the same judge that authorized the release of this information that we've obtained about this. The same judge. So there you have it. All right, we're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. If you're listening on Facebook and Periscope, let me encourage you to share this with your friends. We got a lot of information. Let's take a call. Nancy's calling from California. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, fellas. So I'm curious to know, what is different about this than what we learned in January of 17 when it came out that all of the unmasking was being done and that 17 other intelligence agencies were open to it?
I think what you heard from James Clapper. So this was a coordinated, we now know because we have a lot more information, we know about the unmasking, which was being discussed at about the same time that this intelligence review was being discussed in August of 2016. We also know that Crossfire Hurricane started in 2016, which is the initial counterintelligence investigation of the president, now President Trump. We also know that the judge that authorized the release of the information to us was the same judge that was signed the FISA warrant based on the unverified dossier, which we now know was exactly what it was, unverified. We also now know that James Clapper, at least this is their testimony, James Clapper and John Brennan went to James Comey and said, do not rely on the dossier, although Comey did rely on the dossier in putting the FISA application together. So Wes, we know all of that now.
Yes, and we also know that James Comey claimed that the intel community wanted it there, and they have since denied that they actually wanted that as a part of this, you know, the IC report. I think it's some background on this, Jay, is also important. In the emails that we received through the FOIA request and the lawsuit, there is reference to the fact that under a 2008 amendment to, you know, the 1233 executive order. That the SecDef and the Attorney General can sign off on material, raw intelligence material, being given to another IC, intelligence community entity. The background on that is that happened under President George W. Bush. We were in the middle of the war on terror. It was a hard time in America. The casualty rates were high. We were fighting a war on two different fronts. And in the global war on terror, our intelligence community was front and center. The reason that the amendment that they reference in these emails was done, it says that you can share this intel information if the SecDef, Secretary of Defense, and the AG approve it. It was supposed to not be blanket. It was supposed to be on a case-by-case basis, that if another department needed this, you could share it one time. It was never intended by President Bush's administration to be blanket, where you share everything.
So, Than, from you looking at this, you know, with everything that's going on in Washington right now, and now that we're starting to put all the pieces together, I think that you're seeing this, what I call overreaction of the House Democrats on oversight, trying to bring up, like, relitigate the Mueller report because they know all this is coming.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to keep ratcheting that up, Jay, because they're going to have to distract from this. Look, we know so much more about two things. I would put them in two categories, the who and the why. You've covered a lot of the who, the high level, the James Clapper. Look, I think that sound from James Clapper about President Obama
Unreal.
Is really problematic for the former president. But I would go the other direction with it, Jay. How deep did it go? Could this maybe explain all the leaks that have been happening under this new administration? I think it could, because all of these people deep in the bureaucracies have access to the information. And Jay, maybe more importantly, the why, it's now crystal clear. This was being run on a political calendar, which meant that it had a political motive. And I think there's only one political rationale for that. It's to get as many eyeballs on the incoming administration and the new president as possible. Why, Jay? So that when they're there, when they're in power, they can leak to undermine the new president. To me, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, no, I think we've put together, I think we have now pretty much put together the entire scenario of events that have happened here. I do think it's going to be important to see the FISA files. That will add another level of knowledge. But we're going to put together a final report on this that I think is just devastating. And I think Brennan's statement, which I want to highlight in that report, said it all. They put all this in motion knowing that hopefully they would get something would happen and the something ended up being Bob Mueller, which ended up being nothing. So there you have it. We're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break at 800-684-3110. You know, your support of the American Center for Law and Justice allows us to go to court to get this information. I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
procedures will be signed by the Attorney General before the conclusion of this administration. That's document one. Second document, really want to get this done, so does the boss. Third document, could have a signature from the AG as early as this week, certainly prior to January 20th. Harry, what was going on here?
Well, essentially, it was a deep state operation. And I think if you look back at it, you can argue that it was concocted, it was conceived, and it was deliberate. And it implicates a wide range of Obama officials, possibly Susan Rice. Remember Susan Rice? She
right.
talked about she didn't know anything about this in early 2017. Then 2 weeks later, while being interviewed by a Democratic journalist, Andrea Mitchell, she admitted it. And then said, well, unmasking, it's just normal, it's just procedure, etc. Well, I think there was a deliberate goal in mind, first, to defeat President Trump, and secondly, to undermine him. And part of that process, we've already discussed, led to the appointment of a special counsel.
Yep. Let me go ahead and
discovered nothing.
Yep. Discovered, right. Well, discovered there was no collusion, conspiracy, coordination with Russia. And then, of course, the Attorney General said, and based on the facts that Bob Mueller uncovered, there was no obstruction of justice. Bruce is calling from Oregon, Line 3. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Jay. You guys have done a great job pointing out how bad this Executive Order 12333 is. The question I have is, it's 2.5 years now. I haven't heard word
yeah.
about what has Trump done about it. With a stroke of a pen, he could rescind it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's not that the executive order itself was bad. It was done under the guise of getting the information on an incoming administration. So it's not that maybe having other departments have access to the signal intel is necessarily a bad thing. It's just they operated for 7 years without that and then changed it at literally the last moment when the administration was changing.
Right, and the executive order 12333 is a very large document. It actually began under President Ronald Reagan. It's been around a long time.
Right.
It is occasionally amended by presidents who have succeeded Reagan over the years. And so the issue with this wasn't 12333, it was this amendment done, you know, in the waning days of administration, obviously to try and launch an investigation, a counterintelligence investigation of President Trump, which actually took place. All of this is connected, but the 12333 executive order, there's nothing wrong with it. The amendment, how they did it, was certainly suspect.
Well, Andy, what do you think? I asked Harry the question, too. To me, what was happening here was the administration was changing. They wanted more eyeballs on this because they wanted more of their people
right.
to find out what this administration was doing. But there's something else that's much more sinister, and that is they had already started Crossfire Hurricane in August of 2016.
Right.
So they already started the increasing of the unmasking earlier as well in 2016, 2017. So, and that was going on late into the administration. So all this was happening where you had the UN ambassador having access to unmask on American citizens, which is a big deal. So all of that was happening simultaneously.
Well, the whole idea was to ultimately do what they could to embarrass, okay, and undermine the incoming administration of President Trump. So they brought in all the forces they could, from the UN ambassador to the director of intelligence to the director of the FBI to the Attorney General of the United States and possibly even to the President of the United States, because I'm still not sure that the word boss, Jay, does not refer to President Obama, okay, ultimately. And this was an attempt. They saw the way things might go if their star of all stars, Hillary Clinton, was not elected. And they were afraid that this might happen. This was the insurance policy going into effect. This was the payoff of the policy. In other words, the death that occurred, the beneficiary has got to be paid, and this is how we're going to do it. And it's exactly what Comey said he wanted, didn't he?
Yep.
When he leaked that information to his friend at Columbia that gave it to the New York Times, why did you do that? Because I wanted a special counsel appointed. All these things point to that, undermining the Trump administration.
So the Senate is still controlled by Republicans, Stan. What can they do here?
Well, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, has said that he is looking into this coordination. And, Jay, he roots it on how high and how sophisticated the coordination is. I mean, think about this. The director of national intelligence was pursuing on a political calendar expanding access to raw intel data. At the same time, the director of the FBI was leaking memos with political motives. Jay, if you put that together, I don't know how much higher level you can get. I mean, Andy might be right. I think the sound from Director Clapper is pretty crushing for President
really
Obama,
is.
But Even if it didn't go to that level, Jay, that is extremely high-level coordination. And just one other point here. The caller said that President Trump can undo a lot of this damage with one stroke of the pen. I disagree, Jay. I mean, once access to this information is given, and once it is seen, it can't be unseen. So they got what they wanted. They got all of these people deep in the levels of bureaucracy to see it. And, Jay, it can't be unseen, but you know what it can be? It can be leaked, and
all right.
It has been.
Sherry's calling from Montana. She's on line one, by the way, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Sherry, go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I just have two questions.
Sure.
First, may a federal judge be a witness? And also, could the deep state get out of this one again?
Well, let's talk about the judge. So Judge Contreras, who initially signed the FISA warrant, who also happens to be the judge in our case involving the FISA, Andy pointed out, which is something else, it's not so much can he be a witness. He could be a very angry federal court judge if he signed a FISA warrant based on bad information.
Well, that's exactly what I would be. If I was sitting there and you vouched for me that the information that you were presenting me in connection with getting a FISA warrant to spy on a citizen, okay, was not verified, and you didn't disclose that to me or where the source of that information was, and that it was not only salacious but something I couldn't trust, and based upon that, I signed a warrant, okay, authorizing you to spy on an American,
right?
That may very well be a cause to hold you in contempt for failing to disclose material facts to the court.
So, go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, you know, most people have not read the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. In law school, we were required to read it and dissect it. And the thing that is so striking about this and so disgusting is that if you read that act, it is filled with ways that U.S. citizens who are incidentally caught up in intelligence collection, that they are to be protected. And, I mean, it is so clear. And it was so violated in the outgoing days of the Obama administration.
So you've got the Department of Justice now investigating this. They wanted to know, as Bill Barr called it, spying, got a lot of flack for that, but it's what it is. Spying on a presidential campaign. What were the predicates for that? We now know the Crossfire Hurricane, the operation was in place in August of 2016. We know that they decided to do unmasking on a very large scale of American citizens about that same time. We know they started discussing the increase of the signal intelligence sharing about the same time. Didn't go into effect until right before the change of administrations. All of that happening simultaneously. Let's not forget, Strzok and Page were on that counterintelligence investigation before there was a Bob Mueller. Then we have John Brennan admitting on CNN that they put all this in place and you got Bob Mueller, as if that was the reward for this. So now it's just all coming out. This is what we have at the American Center for Law and Justice. Could you imagine what U.S. Attorney Durham has? Or is going to get, Andy,
yeah,
as a former U.S. attorney?
Yeah, if I was the U.S. attorney looking at this with the power of the grand jury subpoena, which is what he's got, okay, and the will to do it, and the directive of a great attorney general, William Barr, to pursue this matter, God only knows what's going to come out.
All right, we're going to be taking a break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Let me encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that. Just by going to ACLJ.org and make a donation. Cases like this take a long time to litigate, 2.5 years. End up getting a good result. ACLJ.org for that. If you don't get the full hour of the program, go over to the website. We're doing it there. Facebook and Periscope. Stations all over the country, including, of course, SiriusXM. Back with more, including your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C.,
Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Your American Center for Law and Justice went to federal court to obtain documents from the United States National Security Agency. I'm holding in my hand a copy of the lawsuit that we filed in that particular case. So there it is. Okay, that lawsuit gets filed. What do we find? We find this is on Executive Order 12333. It was single raw intelligence being distributed. But let me start this right by going to Wes Smith on this, Colonel Smith. What is raw intel, signal intel?
Yeah, signal intel is anything that's collected by electronic means. It can be the internet, telephone conversations, whatever. Raw intelligence material is material that it is what it is. Whatever they heard, whatever was written down, it's there. And it is generally not given out to any intel community entity until it's been analyzed and processed and edited by your analysts who are paid to do that. That is raw signals intelligence. And up until this change, the NSA was the only agency. When they collected it, it was their property. It's a military organization headed by a general or an admiral. They hold it very, very close. And on a need-to-know basis, they disseminate that information. But it is strictly what the name implies. It is raw material connected to national security.
All right, so there were three documents we've obtained. Now, these three documents have something in common. That is the urgency to get this new sharing of information to all these other groups in place. Here's how it works. First document. This is from the Office of Director of National Intelligence. This is James Clapper. He was eager and pushing to get this done. Quote, procedure signed by the Attorney General before the conclusion of this administration. That's what he wants. Before the conclusion of this administration. In other words, before the Obama administration leaves. Next, his lawyer, the General Counsel for DNI, Robert Litt, he sends an email. It says, really want to get this done, and so does the boss. So that's number two. Number three, the NSA discussed that it could have a signature from the Attorney General as early as this week, certainly prior to January 20th. So, Fan, everything was put in place to occur before the 45th President of the United States was sworn into office.
It came from the very top, Jay, and it was run on a political calendar for a political motive. I don't think there's any arguing those points right there. I mean, look, where was the dialogue with the incoming administration that would have to operate under those rules? Jay, we've gone through a lot of documents. I mean, I'm holding a stack in my hand right here. This is just part of them that we've been through. In those emails, Jay, there is no dialogue with the incoming administration right, to see if this is something that they want to live with. Maybe this is a good rule. Maybe this is something that they wouldn't want to operate under. Jay, they did not dialogue with them, but they rushed it on a political calendar to try to undermine the incoming administration. And look, did the president know about it? I don't know, but I know that the director of national intelligence did. I know that the director of the FBI leaked information that was related to it for a political purpose. Look, did the leader of that political apparatus know? I'd be a little surprised if he didn't, to be honest with you.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't have the evidence that he did, but how do you not? James Clapper, though, justifies all of this, and he doesn't like that everybody's using this term spying. Take a listen to this.
Spying has a term I've never liked. I never liked that term being applied to me, even though I spent 50 years in the intelligence business. It has a bad connotation. It's a pejorative term. It smacks of illegality, lack of oversight, all those kind of things. And that wasn't the case here.
Well, let me tell you about the case you got here. We'll get into this in the next segment of the broadcast. James Comey, the FBI director, told the Bureau subordinates that then-CIA director John Brennan insisted that the Steele dossier be included in the intelligence community assessment on Russia interference. Former director Brennan, along with James Clapper, are the ones who opposed James Comey. This is according to them. This is a statement that was made by the former CIA officials. It was Brennan and Clapper who opposed James Comey's recommendation that the Steele dossier be included in the intelligence report. So somebody's not telling the truth, Andy.
No, I can't believe
that
you're
shocked.
I'm shocked to hear that there's gambling in this. Here are your winnings. I mean, this is exactly what was happening. And now they're all pointing the fingers at each other, which is what the rats do when the ship starts sinking. But let me tell you something. I believe in an old Greek expression that the fish begins to stink from the head down. And that means simply that. Don't tell me the president of the United States at the time did not know this was going on.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Back on Hannity tomorrow night, discussing this again.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So, Comey says, include the Steele dossier, this is all ties into all this, in the FISA request to Judge Contreras, who happens to be the judge in our FISA case. Then he says that Brennan and Clapper want to do that. But Brennan and Clapper issue statements saying, no, we oppose James Comey's recommendation that Steele dossier be included in the intelligence report because it was not used to develop the ICA. The intelligence analysts didn't include it when they were doing their work because it wasn't corroborated intelligence, therefore it wasn't used and wasn't included. But it was in, the Steele dossier was in the FISA warrant. So, Harry, I mean, this is, they are all pointing to each other, but it shows exactly what's going on here.
Yes, I think what we are seeing is an unfolding circular firing squad. Mm-hmm. Everyone is trying to get ahead of the story because they know that they are already implicated by the facts. They also know that the facts are likely to come out through several sources. Inspector General Horowitz's report, Attorney General Barr's emphasis on transparency, and U.S. District Attorney John Durham, who has the power of a grand jury right at his disposal to make sure that the truth will out. So essentially, however, what we have is a narrative that's unfolding, which was created by members of the Obama administration, members of the deep state, going back to at least 2016 and possibly the latter part of 2015. And I hope all of this information comes out. I hope it comes out in a flood, but certainly I would accept it coming out of a hose as well. But at the end of the day, many of these people need to face criminal penalties in all likelihood.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call. Andrew's calling on line four. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Andrew?
Yeah, so you all kind of answered one of my questions. Is the Attorney General getting this information? But the second part is, will there be any prosecutions to come out of this? Will it mess up the deep state at all?
Well, I think it will. I mean, I don't know that, you know, until the evidence is put together, you don't know if there'll be prosecutions. But let me have Andy. Andy's a former U.S. attorney. So I was in Treasury. Andy was over at Justice. And the way it worked on our end was we do the investigation. If the investigation indicates that there's criminal activity, that would have been done by in the Department of the Treasury, IRS, Criminal Investigation Division. They would write up a report to my office, which was the Office of Chief Counsel. We would look at the data, we'd look at the evidence, we'd look at their reports, their forms of their version of what's called a 302. And then I would write a report and send it over to Andy's office, which was literally down the a couple blocks down the road in Atlanta. And I'd send it over to his office, to the criminal division, saying our recommendation is that a criminal proceeding be opened up here. Now, here you've got a bypass because this is actually right at the U.S. Attorney's office, Andy. So explain the good question that Andrew asked. What happens here?
The procedure is really very simple. The United States Attorney for the District of Utah or the District of Connecticut, both of which are looking at these things at the direction of Maine Justice, do their grand jury investigations and make a prosecutorial recommendation to the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, who ultimately decides whether there is a criminal case, just as he did with respect to the Mueller report, okay? And he said that there was no obstruction of justice. He makes the same determination with respect to whether there has been any violation of the law by any of these actors in connection with the leaking of information, in connection with all these things that we have talked about and on the program today. And then he makes a presentation, or through his one of his duly designated subordinates, makes a presentation to the grand jury and gets an indictment. Will there be accountability? My feeling is with this attorney general and this Department of Justice, the answer to that question is yes.
I think so, too. The question is going to be, it's going to take a full investigation. They're doing that now. We have information, though, Wes, that also is related to this. And that is what we now understand as to what was going on during this entire scope.
Yeah, yeah. This whole change in the policies and procedures of the intel community seems to be directly connected to a counterintelligence investigation of a sitting United States president. That, as shocking as that is, you know, all.
Before you go on, I mean, understand what Wes just said. We now have the evidence of a counterintelligence investigation going on against a presidential nominee who ultimately became president of the United States. That's getting lost in all of this, and it can't get lost in all of this. As Bill Barr said, that is a big deal.
Yeah, and the counterintelligence investigation continued after he was sworn into office.
Right.
I mean, think about that. You know, all of this lends itself, I think, to you know, what we call...
And by the way, these are agencies that report to the president.
Yes. It lends itself to deep state interference and to bad acts by bureaucrats. One of my favorite books that you wrote is called Undemocratic,
yeah,
which you talk about the control, the power, the abuses of bureaucrats. This is like that, only it is about serious national security issues.
Yep.
You can't overstate how serious what we've discovered is.
No, I think, I don't think there's any question. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me take Zeke's calling from Florida. Zeke, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. First, I'd like to thank you for your service to our country. The problem I have with all this stuff that you guys are talking about is the timeline. And what I mean by that is leaks and information was already coming out. I truly believe they were already looking in or listening in through the counterintelligence techniques that we have available to them. And then they started doing the unmasking, and then they started with Crossfire Hurricane, and then the counterintelligence operation that you were just discussing to cover their tracks. And then the only way they could discredit or not get caught would be either to discredit the president and get him eliminated, or else just flat out lie and destroy the evidence.
No, you may but well be right. Really, I mean, Zeke, you may absolutely be correct. We know what took place. We don't know the order in which they took place. In other words, was there a triggering event? What was the triggering event to Crossfire Hurricane? It was some kind of intel that they either intercepted or wanted to create. I mean, there had to be a predicate act which put all of this in motion. What we don't know right now is which act was it? Was it the unmasking that led to Crossfire Hurricane? Was it Crossfire Hurricane that led to the unmasking? We don't have that timeline in place yet, Harry.
I think that's precisely correct. And so the issue is, what was the triggering event? There is some anecdotal evidence to suggest that the Obama administration launched an investigation of the Trump campaign as early as the latter part of 2015. And if you look at the timeline involving the Australian official in London, the information which perhaps implicated George Papadopoulos, all of that took place very early on, well before any claims of Russia collusion. So it's very possible that the whole Russia collusion narrative was concocted and cooked up as a way of investigating President Trump, rather than any evidence, any independent evidence suggesting that there was any attempt by the Trump campaign to deal with the Russians. It was perhaps, as Peter Strzok has said, an insurance policy, but it may indeed have been an insurance policy with a very long origin, and we have not yet got to the bottom of it.
And which, I mean, Strzok said early on there's no there. But what Harry's saying, Andy, and I think this is right, and what Zeke's call was excellent, is we don't yet know what was the act. Was it Carter Page? Was it George Papadopoulos? Was it none of that that started this entire process?
No, we don't. But I think Harry's analysis is absolutely correct. There was an excuse, and the excuse was, oh, there's meddling in the election. There's collusion by the Russians with the Trump administration. And get the fire engine going. We've got to look at this and put this fire out. And that was simply the excuse, for doing the ultimate things that they did. That was the good excuse to do it. We want to keep the Russians out of our business.
So Will Haynes, our producer, brings up a good point. That's why, in part, why the attorney general said he's looking at the whole intelligence community, not just within DOJ. But then you bring up a point, and that is James Clapper and Comey, Brennan also, always had access.
So let's tie Zeke's call to Andrew's call, Jay. Zeke's talking about the upper levels of these echelons. James Comey and James Clapper always had access to this information. We now know that they were willing to misuse it. And, Jay, you've played the sound. Both of them also said that they don't believe that surveillance is spying. Well, that's going to be news to the American people. I think it was standard operating procedure for the intelligence community to use surveillance or spying to achieve a political end. I think we know that now. But now let's go back to Andrew's call about the deep state. Jay, that's where we come in. That's where this information ties with what the attorney general has, ties with what the U.S. attorney has, ties with the Senate Judiciary Chairman, Committee Chairman's, ties with the Inspector General. Jay, how deep did it go? We know it permeated to the very top levels, but who is still there that got access under this order and might still be leaking it to undermine the current administration? That's the next puzzle piece that we've got to fit together.
Well, we do need to know that, and that's why we're putting this entire package together. I'm going to be on with Sean Hannity again on Wednesday night talking about more of this. As we got more information, we're going to get the unmasking element into this because there's a portion of that, too. It all starting to tie in. All right, we're taking a break. Last segment coming up. Hard to believe. Man, it went quick. Your phone calls, your comments, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. That's where we're going to get you this information, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. A little music treat coming up in the break for Facebook and Periscope. Talking about Crossfire Hurricane. Well, Jay Sekulow Band did a little version of that tune that we'll be playing when we come back from the break in just a moment. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, last segment, get your calls in 800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
During the break, we were playing Jay Sekulow Band. The JSB did a version of the Rolling Stones tune Crossfire Hurricane, since that was the name of the counterintelligence investigation, which, by the way, they picked because the president used to come out to Rolling Stones tunes at his rallies. There you have it. That little unknown fact, now you know. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Also, your comments. Pat's calling from California on line 6. Go ahead, Pat. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for all the work you guys do. I'm proud to support you.
Thanks.
There's one more issue in here we've heard some talk about, but I haven't heard anything in a long time, but it's really bothered me about how Samantha Powers,
yeah,
who was Obama's ambassador to the UN, requested dozens and dozens of unmasking requests. And it seems odd that she would request them, but to me it's even more odd that a judge or a board, whoever hears these, wouldn't think that's really odd.
Well, it's not a judge. I mean, it's not. You don't have to go to a judge to get an unmasking. That's an interagency determination. Let's first define for everybody what unmasking is, Wes.
Yeah, the FISA Act contains protections, real solid protections against U.S. citizens being unmasked when they're incidentally caught up in intelligence collection. Because if you have a phone, you know, that you're tapping and you're listening in, or emails or whatever, it can be an innocent call. I mean, the terrorist could call a flower shop and the flower shop owner is talking to the terrorist. That's incidental. And so anytime a U.S. citizen is caught up in an incidental collection, their names are not to be unmasked unless they are somehow connected to the national security threat. The other thing about Samantha Powers is she is not part of the intel community. She has no need to know.
But yes, she was included.
But she was included.
So what in the world? I mean, think about that. Samantha Powers, the ambassador of the UN, is included in the capability to do order unmasking.
Yes, she was. And based on my information, she unmasked, I believe, close to 100 names of individuals. And if you compare her record to the record of the prior UN secretary under George Bush, I think that individual only unmasked 3 names over a period of years. So the real question becomes, what was the urgency that propelled Samantha Power to engage in this activity? It is clearly and unmistakably unusual, and it suggests that this is part and parcel of a pre-planned initiative, an initiative that included Susan Rice, that included Attorney General Lynch, yep, James Clapper. The list goes on.
Prince Ali, yes.
And yes, possibly included Andrew McCabe, yep, who is now in a fight with James Comey in terms of who is telling the truth, and the probable answer is both are not telling the truth. Yeah.
Go ahead, Wes.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist either, but as we were talking during one of the breaks, this executive order is a presidential executive order.
Oh, exactly.
There's no way they would have amended this order without the president of the United States knowing that it had been amended.
I wonder if there is we could find this out. What is the framework when you amend an executive order? Does that go to the president for re-execution?
Yeah, I would think it almost has to.
I would think it would have to. It's an executive order.
Let's find that out. Yeah. We'll find that out for tomorrow.
It's got to be signed by the president, doesn't it?
What the outgoing administration was banking on?
In other words, did when 1233 was amended, what was the process of amendment? Yep. We need to find that out.
What they were banking on was that Donald J. Trump would never be president of the United States.
Exactly.
And they were doing everything they could to ensure that that didn't happen. But they were banking on that. They thought they would never get caught.
Yep. All right. Doug's calling from Wisconsin on line 2. Hi, Doug.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your good work, folks.
Thanks.
Outside of freedom of speech, how can the media be held accountable? They've obviously run cover for a lot of this. Do we see any indication that media could be involved with this on a level?
No, look, I'm very protective of First Amendment freedoms for the press. And I think that if you don't like the way the media is reporting something, the thing you should do is look at another channel, get another newspaper, go to another website. I don't think censoring the press is the answer to this. In England, they do. You could sue the press for misstatements. We don't have that in the United States. We have a robust First Amendment freedom of expression. I think it's important to keep that. What's going to make this reality is, as you put the facts together, it's taking a long time. You know, I don't think we'll have the full answer to this until Durham's done with his report. But we're going to have at least a handle on what was transpiring here. We still may not know what the triggering event was, but we're going to know what was put in place.
Well, and I would say to the caller, Jay, that's why we bring the evidence that we uncover directly to our listeners so that we can be one of those mediums. And look, we've said this so many times, but Jay, the information that we have is still just one piece, and we are not able legally under the law to get everything that is available to the U.S. attorney or to the attorney general. What we have to do is be sort of the entity that puts all of those pieces together once they come out, and that is what we're committed to do. We're committed to pulling those pieces together and telling the narrative. Jay, I think a lot of this narrative is already known. Of course, there's going to be more. And just real quickly on the Samantha Power piece, I mean, I think you have to ask the when and the why. I mean, the when was the same timeline we're talking about today, dramatically increased at the final days of the administration. And the why, Jay, why would the UN ambassador be the one making these unmasking requests? Well, she was awful close to the president. I mean, that's the first reason that jumps to my mind.
Very close to the president. All right, Alex is calling from California on line 3. Hi, Alex.
Alex, go ahead. You're on the air. My question is pretty simple. I mean, if the FISA warrant was obtained under false or misleading information, wouldn't the FISA judge's immediate responsibility was to invalidate the warrant and all information and evidence gathered via that warrant would be inadmissible and unacceptable?
Yeah, good question.
Yes, well, that's exactly right. The FISA judge, if presented with information that was false and misleading, that caused him to execute the warrant, okay, then that information may very well not be usable in a subsequent prosecution or in a subsequent activity by the person who obtained it because it was tainted. That's called the fruit of the poisonous tree. If that information was obtained in a wrongful manner, not only is that contempt of court because you don't lie to a judge, but it also may no longer be usable.
Yeah, I think we're finding out the scope and nature of the wrongdoing here. And it was extensive. You know, put together the dossier aspect of this, the unmasking, the change of the intelligence sharing, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, Strzok and Page and the animus there, acknowledging that there was no there. James Clapper going on TV saying, look, if we didn't do all these things, you know what would have happened? This is what he says. You know what would have happened, don't you? Well, what would have happened was you wouldn't have ended up with maybe a special counsel. So they were far seeing in the future as what they were trying to obtain, with the reality that the impact on this was going to be felt by the country for years to come. And it's the truth is it has been. So what we're now finding is we're able to put these pieces of the puzzle together. And it's not painting a very pretty picture for those that were involved in this. And I think the Clapper, Brennan, Comey disagreement is going to be significant here, Fan. And I think that's why they're reacting. I think that's why some of the Democrats on Capitol Hill are reacting too. They know the scab's about to be pulled off the wound here.
You've got the Director of National Intelligence and the Director of the FBI, neither of which thinks that surveillance is spying, Jay, pushing for expanded access to information while leaking that information to the media. Jay, that's not a good place to be in. Fortunately, I think they're going to be held to account because the information's coming out.
Yeah, I think that's right. All right, so we're going to be finishing up this broadcast. For those on Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. We're going to have an exclusive. JSB, the band playing Crossfire Hurricane, the famous Rolling Stones tune. They'll be coming right after while we go off the air. And again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, also Twitter. A lot of ways to stay engaged with us. We encourage you to do it. And don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. That's how we go to court. That's how we get this information. You do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. In a moment, on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends right now. We're going to play that tune live from our concert in Texas.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member.